Hello, everybody. Welcome to the King of Anime Podcast, where we're not going to have Vecchi Don on the screen just yet. Sorry to tease y'all. Sorry to, deliver to you these expectations, which can now not ever be delivered again. This is the King of Anime Podcast, the show in which we talk about anime. Sometimes. How you guys doing? Introduce yourself.
It is I, Everything Animated, and I'm doing quite all right. Good, sir.
Well, that's good.
Well, it is Sasuke the Savage, and I actually feel good. Yesterday was, I took a big setback, but turned it around. So, I'm in high spirits.
Nice. Nice. Yep.
I'm just trying to get over this goddamn writer's block I have. Coming out with, like, no videos.
It happens.
Ridiculous. It's awful. Terrible. So I guess with that being said, let's just jump right into it, as that one guy says. Talk about ReZero. Season 2, Episode 5. So, Big Booby Elsa returned.
Oh, yes. Yes, she did. And it was beautiful. As soon as I seen the belly cut, I knew exactly who was going to be there. It brought a smile to my face.
She's a goddamn murderer.
That she is. And she does it well.
Yeah. I mean,
she's a mercenary.
She's
very good at it.
I mean, yeah, sure. She's definitely a freak. I ain't gonna, say that she's not. It's just, I guess I wouldn't be going for the girls that want to split you in half. That's my forte, because I like to go with the ones that don't want to Jody Aries you.
Well, I mean, Satsuki is going for Akito, though.
So. Yeah, that is true. That's true.
And Priscilla, who all 9 of her wives have mysteriously disappeared. So
it's fine. I'm different. It's not going to happen to me.
I mean, you are different. I think all 9 of her husbands were all, like, wealthy on some level.
Yeah, and I'm not that.
We're going to have to put out a, a missing persons report on Sasuke if he goes that route. It's like, Sasuke, where'd you go? Last known place was in Priscilla's bedroom.
It's not a bad place to die, I don't think.
Oh, God. But yeah, one of the first things you see of Elsa, before you even see her face, is her massive boobs. Do you think they knew? Yeah.
I think they knew.
I feel like they got even bigger than what I remember.
She got that mercenary money. She got time for implants.
Oh, no. They're natural.
Naturally bought.
Oh, Lord. Well, and also, Elsa has, like, the most confirmed kills on Subaru, I think. I think she has 3 now.
If she's dead from this. Oh, he's dead.
I mean,
he's dead.
whenever you see your intestines, I'm pretty sure you're dead at that point.
Sometimes you can tank it. Lucky enough. You got the shield on.
Keep walking, man. I keep losing my intestines. No, man, just keep going. Just rope it up like spaghetti and keep going.
It's fine. Just hold them in your hands. Nothing bad. You don't need them right now. It's okay.
It's just a flesh wound.
How sharp are those blades that she can just, like, he doesn't even, like, sense her presence or anything. Like, he's just running, and he's like, what? Oh, innards have fallen out. Like, how sharp are those damn things?
Those have to be so fucking sharp, because the fact that, one, he didn't feel it, and two, he didn't even notice till his guts were, like, halfway down the hall. So, I mean, yeah, those are some sharp blades. Like, Good luck, Satsuki.
I mean, Elsa might be cruel, but at the same time, she's kind of gentle because she can make it a lot. She can make their deaths a lot worse.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ!
It's just like a quick little cut, a quick little incision, and then you're on the floor dead.
I like how over the course of this podcast you went from being like just into like crazy women to now like defending crazy women.
Full on.
I'm not saying
you just misunderstood, okay?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
It was all Subaru's fault. Shouldn't have been near her. Should have been me.
I mean, he did walk in without anyone answering. That's kind of rude. This isn't a Pokemon.
I mean, she's in a mansion she doesn't belong in either.
I mean, I don't know if she got invited. Maybe, you know, Frederica invited her over.
Oh. Oh, Lord. I don't even know what to say. Why do you guys think Elsa is at the mansion?
I have no idea.
She's not just randomly there. Let's just get that out of the way. Like, I don't think she's just there just to have fun. So someone had to contract her. We didn't know who contracted her the first time because she kept her employer a mystery. I feel like Subaru wasn't the target just because there's no real reason to kill Subaru because like he doesn't really have importance to other people. They just kind of think of him as a joke. So I definitely don't think Subaru's the target. When we see the mansion, all of the doors are open. So she could have been looking for someone. So maybe the target was Roswell or Beatrice. But or Amelia too. And maybe she was just looking for those people and Subaru was just collateral. But yeah, I don't know exactly who the target was. I just don't think it was Subaru. He just wrong place, wrong time.
Well,
he's an idiot. He walked into the blade and that's what you get. I don't
I mean, we didn't even see the blade.
Nope.
So don't blame him. Well, I mean, we know that Biko just doesn't let anybody in. Like she can choose to when she wants to let people in. Based off episode 2 or 3. So maybe that's why all the doors are open. Wait, were all the doors open? I can't fucking.
I think most of them were open when he was walking through. Because when he was looking for Rim, I don't think he opened a door at all.
Oh, okay. I was wanting to make sure. Yeah. So if that's true, then maybe she was just looking for. Maybe not Biko, but somebody else. But also, as well, we learned in this episode that, Roswell is an evil masterminding dick.
He is responsible for everything.
Yeah, he basically revealed in this episode he's the one who made it all happen. Not him coming to Lagunica, but, you know, all the terrible things.
Why is he alive?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably because Ram.
I don't think anybody's going to take the challenge of trying to kill him.
Yeah, freaking put your girl on him. You know, just let her cut him up a few.
Probably need a little bit more money than like pocket lint to contract her.
No, it's totally fine.
You could pay her with your love.
Yeah, exactly. See,
I wish I could.
She's probably never had anybody that says, "Oh, I love you." You'll be the first one. She'll be like, "No one's ever spoken that way towards me." Okay, I'll do it.
That's all I needed to not be a psychopathic murderer.
There's no way someone did not hit on Elsa. Someone had to have.
Oh, and she
refused.
And she likely smashed out with those people.
Oh yeah.
She's crazy. Smashed them. And then literally smash them.
Yeah.
Probably.
With a brick.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Elsa seems like one of those people, you know, whatever. But it is what it is. But yeah. So Roswell basically he treats everybody like an opportunity to enact his vision. And so he's made sure that all these things that have happened the way they did because he knew that Subaru could do them, although that's just a byproduct of his curse. And basically, there's nothing anybody can do about it because it's gotten him this far. Like, his plan, I mean, whatever you say, like, it got him the alliance with Krush. You know, they killed the White Whale. So, and Ram's not going to do anything about it. Because Ram is loyal to Roswell, obviously. And who else is there? So, yeah.
Right. Okay, with Roswell, what I took away from the conversation was his trust, his seemingly unwavering trust of Subaru. And honestly, from... It has no real basis because, as Subaru said, like, he was trash. There's no reason why he should believe in Subaru unless either two things. Either he was just lying about most of what he said to Subaru, which I don't think he was necessarily lying, but I do think he was kind of withholding some information. But if he knows about Return by Death, that would make sense as to why he has so much faith in Subaru, because I can't see any other way why you would trust this dude who cannot use magic and wears the same tracksuit every day.
Also, don't look at the chat on the stream. There are spoilers.
Too late. I don't even know what any of it means, so I ain't gonna be spoiled by it.
It's funny because I was reading it, but I wasn't really even paying attention. So,
don't fucking read it because. There's some dickhead spoiled it.
Again, I don't even know what any of it meant, so I'll still be surprised.
Don't watch season one.
No, I already did.
Don't watch it now, because you'll know. Don't think about it. So, speaking of comments that are unnecessary, we see the Lolly Granny.
Yeah. Her name was Ryuzu? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryuzu.
It's called Ryuzu in this. But I know her as Louise. Louise Bilma. Her name in this was Ryuzu Bilma.
What the fuck?
Ryuzu?
Yeah. I guess they. Yeah, Ryuzu. She was the girl that we saw in episode 4?
Yeah, I remember seeing her.
I think it was 2, actually. Because we seen her when they first went to the same... Oh, actually, it might have been 3.
Yeah, it's hard to remember, really. Days and these weeks, they all blend together. So, what do you guys think about this character? Why was this character in the forest, and why did she run away?
I really don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in this show, and I don't know what's going on. So, I wish I could say more, other than make a hypothetical guess. She's an elf, because that's why she says she's old. But she's not. Doesn't look it. Because elves, they live a long time.
Yeah. She also has the ears, and we know she has to be a half-blood.
Yeah, so that's literally all I know, and I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add on to that. I just thought it was funny how when she was introduced, the series seems to be self-aware of certain archetypes, like the whole legal old Lolly, and that's what Subaru was when he called her an old hag. He was like, I was wondering when I was going to meet one of you guys, so I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's something he does a little bit, because he talked to Subaru, like, called Beatrice a Lolly, and she was like, I don't know the meaning of that word, I suppose. Like, don't call me by that word. Or, like, I don't know the meaning of that word, but I feel like it's not a good thing.
She needs to watch more anime.
It's true. This is definitely true. I think she would like anime. She seems like the kind of girl that would be into, like, I don't know, like Precure or Yuri? Something. Called Yuri?
I feel like she would love Fruits Basket.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, definitely. So, as well, we talk about Otto has like this plan of like, oh, we'll just like put them on our backs and we'll carry them out.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man.
And then Ryuzu's like, hey, that kills them pretty much. So don't do that.
It was, I don't know why, I can't tell you why, but I actually believed in Otto when he said he had a plan. I thought it was going to be some grandiose, revolutionary plan that was going to change the scope of ReZero and anime as we know it. And then he just says, oh, yeah, just carry it on the back. I was like, wait. I was like, that's it?
Oh, man.
I mean, sometimes the simple plan, sometimes people think the simple plans don't work out, so... I mean, he said it. He had the courage to say it, but from what we know, pretty much people will end up like Rem if they try to do it. The Half-Bloods, at least.
Yeah.
And apparently, Rem is hot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah. And Tavius Mitchell. That's a great name. says Garf called Rem hot. By the way, true man of culture.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's not really wrong.
There you go. There you go. Ram is now officially been noticed as attractive by Satsuki the Savage.
Yeah, I approve of most ReZero girls.
Yeah, she's all right.
Even the old one. The actual old granny, the one that's not a Wally.
Wait, I do not approve of her.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Who's the old granny?
She's a lecturous predator.
We do not condone. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go for that either.
You never know, man.
Those old no, people. I do know. I do know that I don't want that.
Oh, my God. Cedric says, Satsuki likes savage girls.
That's not wrong. I mean,
he also likes Savage Garden.
Do I?
I don't know, do you?
I don't.
Ah, damn it, I thought I was onto something.
I was like, isn't Savage Garden like also like a song by Stone Temple Pilots? And I thought for a moment, I like, oh no, that's Wicked Garden. So like it shows where my mind went. The 90s.
We all failed. It's okay.
We're getting missed, Tom.
DDM says, I just saw the new episode and I think Roswell has 50 shades. I don't understand him.
I don't even know what that means.
I thought he meant like 50 shades of gray.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like he was going into that BDSM stuff.
Hey!
And that's why it's all wrapped up in bandages, you know?
It's Roswell. He may.
He does look like... Wait! It's all clicking. Beatrice said something when they were fighting, and she said, save that for your makeup and weird fetishes, I suppose. So he's 50 Shades of Grey.
Holy shit.
There you go. Now we gotta have that song play.
Someone actually brought up in my comments, I thought this was a brilliant comment, from my analysis video on this episode. They brought up that since Roswell planned all this stuff to happen, that Roswell also planned Elsa to be there to attack at the bar to get the crest from Amelia, and as well to be at the mansion.
I mean, like, from where we're standing at, I don't... It's hard to confirm something like that. Like, all I can really do is like throw out theories and whatnot. I would have to think about what would be the reasoning behind that. Like, I don't even understand the reasoning for... Because he said that he just wanted to give Emilia credit and whatnot. And that's why I said if he knew about Subaru's return by death, that would make sense. Because we see possibilities where Emilia died from this shit. So I don't see how or why he would risk Emilia's life considering he's been sponsoring her just so she can get the credit for it. It seems like low reward, high risk. So that's how I see it.
I think Emilia should have instead went for that Tenga sponsorship.
Yeah.
Much easier. I don't think Roswell could have planned Rem separating from Emilia.
Huh. I don't know.
I don't, yeah, it's all complicated now. But Roswell, for sure, is not to be trusted. Speaking of Emilia, though, we see when Emilia... or Subaru wakes up, you see Emilia in some half state of not totally conscious, and he's saying things like, it wasn't me, and calling out to Puck that she didn't do it, it was an accident. What the hell is she talking about? Because she looked pretty shook up.
Once again, I don't know. Stop asking me things I don't know the answers to.
What do the numbers mean, Mason?
Yeah, I seriously don't know. I'm assuming we're gonna find out later to know like what's happening, but all I get from it is that, you know, when it comes to facing her past, yeah, she don't want to face it. she definitely doesn't want.
Yeah,
it's tough to think about. You know, I was trying to think about stuff that happened in Frozen Bonds, but I don't...
Whoa, the stream just went down.
Oh, damn. Wait, hold on.
It looks like it's running on my side.
Yeah, it's running for me.
Oh, stream is resuming. Stream is continuing.
Okay.
I don't know. Just keep going. Like.
All right. Okay, I was trying to think about what happened in Frozen Bonds to see if I could get a clue as to why Emilia was acting that way, because I feel like what happened in Frozen Bonds, the trauma that she was experiencing, was stuff that was prior to that. I don't think they gave us the reason on why Emilia's acting this way. But it also made me think, like, what is Puck doing? Like, Puck has to be doing something very important for him to basically abandon Emilia in this situation. Because he's just out. But, yeah, I don't know anything.
Yeah, he's completely gone at this point. From Emilia's day to day, which is, it is the strangest thing if, you know, their relationship is pretty tight. But, I mean, I don't even want to even suggest, because I know everything about Emilia's backstory. But EA, do you have any theories on what it could be?
Well, seeing as she's a half elf and half blood or whatever, maybe she was treated differently when she was younger, and maybe she had to do some things that she didn't very much like. Or I don't know, like it just sounds like she didn't have a good upbringing, or maybe some event happened to her that scared her so bad that she's just like, you know, she's calling out for Puck to basically save her and what. So it's something very traumatic. I wouldn't happen to know what it is. I'm assuming it happened when she was really young. That's all I know, or what I'm guessing, I should say.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that, because when it's revealed and I want to go back to these.
I think in Frozen Bonds, they didn't explicitly state it, but I think we've seen Emilia and other half elves frozen and whatnot. So maybe she caused that, killed a whole bunch of people by accident. That's what that makes sense from what she was saying when she was freaking out. So that's probably what I'm going with.
All right. So let's see, what else do we have here? Oh yeah, we completely skipped over the beginning part with Echidona.
In a school uniform.
Yeah.
The first thing Subaru says is like, damn girl, you're looking fine.
Yeah, Subaru has some taste.
Yeah, and she did look, you know, like a student. So that's something. But I don't really remember what happened at the beginning other than what they were just talking about. Oh, yeah, like everything was fake and everything was just a simulation, I guess.
Yeah, recreated from his memories.
Yeah, but even then, like when everything was all said and done, Subaru was like, thank you, Echidona. You know, even though it wasn't really them, I thank you for doing it because I at least felt like I got to say my goodbyes.
Yeah, I mean, it felt real to him, so.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Also, we know that there's three trials that have to be passed before the people of Sanctuary are freed. So that's a thing. And also, Echidona curates the trials.
I think he
gets mad at Echidona. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay, so... Yeah, so he gets, like, mad at Subaru, or Subaru gets mad at Echidona, and is like, because she brings up something about his parents, and once again, he stands up to Echidona, like, hey, don't talk about my parents like that, which is another sign to me that Subaru has grown a little bit as a character, but also that still retaining that sort of, that carefree attitude, because he doesn't know anything about this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, like, the conversations between Subaru and Echidona are basically just amplifying her intrigue in Subaru because, as you said, Subaru stood up to her, and then with him showing gratitude to Echidona, that's probably like the first time she's ever heard someone thank her, considering that she's a witch. So she's probably had a lot of contempt from other people. So she sees Subaru as kind of like an anomaly, someone that she can't understand. So I think a lot of these conversations are simply just to have Echidona more interested in Subaru and more intertwined in his life.
So Antavius Mitchell brings up in the comment section, this is something that I read when it came up as well, but I forgot about it. He says, author said his parents had the police looking for him, but nothing came up, so his parents sunk into depression.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I mean,
that is sad.
I wish we would have gotten, and I understand why we didn't really get it, but it's kind of just interesting to let our mind wander on the after effect of the people living in the quote-unquote real world, because... To the in their perspective, Subaru just disappeared. They don't know if he's dead, alive, or anything. There's no body. There's no trace. So it's just, it has to be horrifying for them.
We have Ram making Garfield some grass tea.
Yeah,
isn't that green tea?
Oh God, I guess yeah. I guess you could say.
Because isn't that kind of a grass?
Well, grass is green, so.
Oh, I'm just an idiot.
All I know is Ram can't cook. That's all I know. We need Ram back.
Yeah, that's why I say she's all right.
As well, Frederica doesn't support... The freeing of the people of the sanctuary, but Garfield, Ryuzu, Roswell, these people that are basically in the sanctuary do support it.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of took me by surprise, but when they explained it, I understood it, because there are a lot of people who don't want... I mean, for with this whole barrier thing up, it does protect them from the outside world. It's like they kind of get to live in their own little bubble. You know, people can't enter it, but obviously they can't, you know, certain people can't exit it. So I feel like with that, I think Ram said that people may try to hurt Amelia because of this, because it's the fastest way to stop her from, you know, freeing the sanctuary since they want to stay in it. But as it pertains to Frederica, I have no idea what her intentions are exactly. So, like, I have no clue at all.
As well, Garfield and Frederica do not get along at all, despite the fact they are siblings.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Roswell, Subaru was talking to Ram, and Ram says, basically, to say to Biko, Roswell said to ask the question. And saying that to Biko would change apparently everything.
Oh my god, he's gonna pop the question. That's what it is. You know, the question, whenever you pop it.
I don't know. Roswell has fetishes. I don't think he's really into cotton candy lollies.
Cotton candy lollies. That's amazing. Well, that is true, though.
Yeah.
He has a cotton candy lolly.
I suppose.
Yeah, that whole thing brought up, too. We just, like, from me and EA's perspective, we don't fucking know what's going on.
Nope.
Love it.
We don't
and
know.
You're just sitting back going, I read the light novels or whatever the fuck. I'm gonna know everything.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
just
but
you wait.
I appreciate the plot points that we get here and there, mm-hmm. because I have full faith is going to be explained to us later. But obviously, from our standpoint, there's not enough information to really make any concrete theories, in my opinion. Now, even if, like you say, oh, well, if you check season one or whatever, like, we don't even know what to look for. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Even if we did get hints here and there, we don't know it because, from our perspective, they aren't really hints. So, like, from me and EA's perspective, I'm talking for him, really, but I don't think we have any clue what's going on.
Oh, God. Otto tied his shoes. Ooh, that means something.
It means everything. So, what have we got? What are we giving this episode? Killer pass.
I mean, come on. I mean, maybe we should butcher it like old... keep forgetting her name. Elsie? Elsa. I almost had it. But now I'm going to pass it.
My favorite thing that Elsa is back is we're starting to see the whole let it go thing. Elsa from Frozen.
Oh.
No.
Let it go, slice. Let it go, slice. Gonna cut your nuts off with my knife.
I mean, Elsa was in the episode. That's like an automatic pass. And I love her comment. Oh my god. You promised me, didn't you, that you were going to keep your you were going to keep your good care of your bowels. I love it. She cares about people.
Slotsky, I don't even know what to think, man. I just want to, I don't know, I feel like I need to give you a hug. I feel like you need a hug.
I do, maybe.
Yeah, we all pass, whatever, who cares. Snafu, episode 5. This time, I got an Iroha gif, because Iroha was in this episode.
She was.
She sure was.
Thanks to them damn people and the animes giving strikes for talking about Snafu and playing Snafu stuff. Well, I gotcha. I'll play a gif.
Well, let's hope that doesn't come up anything. But yes, yes, it is a gift.
You sure showed them.
I showed them.
With a little wink and a tongue action.
So, somebody, goddammit, Mary Sensei.
Yes, yes, indeedy. Poor Hiroshika Sensei. Well, she seems real desperate at the end, didn't she, when she was talking to Hachiman, going, take me.
Take me.
I thought, I was like, please, is she joking? Is she being serious?
Yeah, you can't.
And freaking, you know, he's having the inner monologue in his head, just like, someone please take her before I do it. But even then, I don't know if I want to, but okay, just please someone take her.
She's saying this to a student. It's for a student to take her.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I got to admit, that was one of those, well, somebody wants to be taken, like Liam Neeson.
Oh, God.
I have a very certain set of skills. Hiroshika Sensei, need you to come with me, for you will be taken. And she'll be so happy.
Literally, Hiroshika Sensei, just drop the habit and we can talk.
That's probably the only thing keeping her.
That's what QRW6 said. He told me, he said, once she decides to get on the patch, I'm all for that.
There you go. Yeah. That's all. Somebody relay this to her. Jesus Christ. Or it's too late.
I don't think they even care in anime. I don't know why she... There has to be something deeper as to why. I mean, I think Hachiman alluded to why she wasn't in a relationship when they had that camping trip with the elementary kids where she kept like texting him over and over and over. He was like, I think I got a glimpse into why she's still single.
Yeah, that's a clingy person right there. You're actually reading this, aren't you? As you're scrolling, please answer me back.
Take me.
The last one was just like, call me back.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. That is one of those huge red flags in which you're like, well, look at the time. I gotta go wash my hands, and then you just bolt right to the exit, and then just peel out.
That's your excuse?
Sorry, I have to go wash my hands.
Well, it's better than saying, yeah, you're crazy later. No, because she's going to keep calling you. You basically just lie out your teeth and say, hey, I need to go to the restroom. And then you exit out the back door and then you hightail it out of there. And then block her number, and then that's the last time you ever see her.
Sorry, I have to go powder my nose.
I'm not speaking from experience or anything. I'm just... You know,
we're getting EA's playbook recognized. Right?
You don't know what I've been through,
Coach EA. I just go with the whole my refrigerator's running thing.
Oh, is that what you did? Yeah. Shit! I just remembered I had there's a refrigerator I need to catch.
Oh
fuck!
Yeah, no. Please. Somebody go take her and that refrigerator. Yeah. And make sure your hands are washed. Your noses are powdered.
Not like a God of High School noses, though.
Oh, God, no. I thought we were done with that show. Satsuki, why?
Just when I thought it was out, they pulled me back in.
That's literally what just happened right now. We have this whole thing where the school administration is heavily considering canceling the prom, which I'm like, cancel it, damn it! Prom sucks.
Well, not to some certain people. They want to keep it going because it's their life's legacy.
Yeah. What are they gonna do at the prom?
They're gonna have themselves a good time with spiked punch and doing it in a backseat of a car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everyone's prom experience except mine.
Yeah, I didn't go because fuck that shit.
I have a real long story about my experience, but I'll save that for another time.
Uh-oh.
Is this a part of your playbook as well?
Oh, no. It wasn't a part of anyone's playbook. Let me just say it involves me being invited and me finding out later that person had a boyfriend.
Oh, God.
That's a good playbook. Do it once.
I didn't play for that. I literally got dragged into a situation that wasn't my fault.
I'm kidding. Don't date two people at once. Unless it's, you know, agreed upon. If it's agreed upon, don't date three people.
I thought you were going to say as long as it's like Hiratsuka or something. If you could date Yukino and Hiratsuka, it's fine.
Okay.
What were we talking about? Prom? Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about the prom.
Yeah. I'll say that for another time. But it was basically, I guess they're trying to make the students quit and have them give up on wanting to even have a prom altogether. And I just love the little kind of like scenario that Hachiman kind of played in his head. Like, if it's not a problem and it's not seen as a problem, then it's not a problem. But the second anyone mentions it as a problem, then everyone comes after you and tries to make you feel so bad about it. And it showed a picture of a granny holding an apple. And I read all the little texts, and it just reminded me of where we're living in society right now, where everything's totally fine until somebody says it's a problem. Then everybody tweets at the person and says, you're a bad person. Even though they did nothing wrong in the past, that's considered wrong now.
Mm-hmm. Well, EA, we live in a society, don't you know?
I mean, I wish we all lived in a yellow submarine instead. Oh, God. Someone's going to see this with a gif of Roa, you singing that song.
Oh, no. And no!
And make a 10-hour loop of that.
Oh, no, that's not good. We don't need that.
It's not going to be me at all.
Probably gonna be Sasuke.
No, I don't have the patience. Well, but as far as the prom goes and the, what are they called? I don't even remember what they're called. What was it?
I would say PTO, the parents, teachers, whatever.
Is that it? Is it PTO?
I think that's what they're called, the parent teacher organization or whatever.
Yeah, those
student council and all that.
I just call them the assholes. Yeah. They're trying to stop the prom, and they're doing it in a very roundabout way. Like, it's kind of like hands off. They don't, as you said, they don't want to acknowledge the problem. It's kind of like, even with the issues that they raise, like, oh, we don't want this to happen. We don't want this to happen. We don't want this to happen. It's all just lip service, because at the end of the day, even if Yukino works around those issues to where they aren't issues, they're going to bring up something else. So they're being very coy about, you know, them not wanting this problem to happen. Because they're like, oh, you guys can do it. It's just that we just don't want this and this to happen. No, they just don't want the problem to happen. They don't like fun.
I don't like fun either, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of trash sometimes.
Fun is for sad people.
Yeah, no, and it makes you wonder, just, you know, why, you know, like, what is the cat, like, it's just the prom, you know, like, these are just high schoolers, just like, what the hell, man? It's like, I think we talked about this last episode, but it's the few
ruin it for the many. Yep. One rotten apple has to spoil the whole bunch. Yep, that's exactly it.
We also get a pretty cool scene with Iroha and Hachiman. What do you guys think about that?
She blocks him from getting into the student council, and then she's like, all right, come talk with me. Then they go back and forth. Hachiman's like, I have my reasons as to what I want to do to help her. She then grabs him by the shirt and goes, tell me. Give me a proper answer. Don't give me this bullshit. And then in a very serious manner, he's just like, because it's my responsibility. And then all of a sudden she loosens up her grip and is like, oh, well, heavens to Betsy. I liked it. I really liked it. It showed, well, especially later on in the episode, you see a lot more, but definitely at that very moment, just kind of like her being vulnerable for a little bit.
See, my favorite moment wasn't that. It was just like, it was the thing that reminded me that Iroha is Iroha. And it was where, like, Yukino is there, he flips over the board, Hachiman does, and then he says something, and then, like, how did you guys, like, decide upon this, or whatever? And Iroha is like, well, I kind of vetoed her stuff, and then she started vetoing mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love the fact when she knew that Hachiman came in, that she just decided to flip over the board. just like, you ain't gonna see what I came up with, you son of a, you know? And then he just walks over and just flips it back over anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
With me and Iroha and Hachiman, I found it funny how Iroha, like Ian said, like she blocked him from seeing Yukino. It kind of reminded me, like, if you played any type of game where you're like about to go to the boss, they prompt you like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, do you have everything? You're not ready for this. That's what Iroha was to Hachiman in that moment. It's like, you're not ready for Yukino right now. Not with that half-ass plan.
Dizzy Cheese, we are talking about my teen romantic comedy snafu. I should bring that back up. Forgot. Yeah. I apologize.
But what we got in this episode of Iroha just reminded me of why I love her character and why she was my former favorite character in the whole entire series. But, you know, she got eclipsed by Hiratsuko on the rewatch. But
wow.
I don't like Iroha just because she's cute and trollish. I like her also because she's very perceptive in that she understood the situation as soon as it presented itself. Like when Hachiman was about to go in to see Yukino, she already understood what was going to happen. So like I said, she stood as the block and tried to basically coach him up as to what he was going to say to Yukino before he did it, because probably with his first approach, it wouldn't have went over as smooth as it would have before he talked to Iroha. So she's really on point, and I think she can assess situations very quickly, and I think that's really underrated from her character, because she doesn't necessarily show it, because again, what she projects onto us is, again, the cute and trollish part of her character, but there's a lot more to Iroha than that.
I want to know, why is it that every now and again somebody comes in this podcast and is like somebody Sotsy knows and is like, somebody please tell Sotsy to be nice?
I don't know. Knowledge.
Are you like abusing your friends? I wish you'd use me.
Next question.
Dizzy Cheese, great name, asks, Ho is your weefu?
Ho?
Ho
is your weefu.
I don't know any hoes. Well, I take that back. No. But who is my waifu, if that's what they mean?
I guess in this show.
In this show, I don't know. I like them all. There's like not one in particular that I would pick one over the other. I mean, they're all great in their own way. So they're like my children. You can't pick one out of your children.
I pick Hachiman.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the whole psycho route.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. People love Saika now this season. She's been deemed the best girl.
Oh
no, Saika is the
Yeah. Oh wait. I was thinking of Kawasaki. Sorry.
Yeah, their names are similar.
Yeah, they sound similar. My bad. But yeah, Tosuke. You're right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that is somebody who Hachiman would absolutely love to be with, where he would be making, you know, breakfast every morning, and like, you know, they'd be having fun with tennis rackets. It's just all kinds of good stuff.
Why are you asking me if I watch Euphoria the anime? I'm not gonna watch Euphoria.
I didn't even know there was an anime, but
yeah,
that's another thing to avoid.
Yeah,
that's
what I don't even know.
Don't look it up, EA. It's not worth it.
It's not.
I'm doing it.
All right, that's all it took. Sin says please. Oh, I love this guy.
Ho is my waifu. My waifu would probably be...
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this not good stuff, EA.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. Yeah. It would probably be Aroha, just because what I like about Aroha and Hachiman's dynamic is Aroha gets Hachiman completely out of his comfort zone. I think everybody adds something to Hachiman or the relationship. With Yui, I feel like she also does the same thing, but in a different type of way, getting Hachiman out of his comfort zone. With Yukino, it seems like to be this mutual understanding and respect between the two. And again, like I said, with Aroha, she gets Hachiman completely flustered, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, that is a good point. They all like have some sort of like special interactions with them. I like this part in this episode where Hachiman is like talking to Yukino and Iroha and asks Yukino, "Do you want me to help you?" And then she just goes, "Ah," and that's all it takes. And he's just like, he just starts. He's like, "Yep, yep, I'll help."
Yeah, yeah. She was about to say something back, and he's like, "Well, hear me out. Hear me out. Come on, just let me say something." Mm-hmm. And then he was like, "I remember what you said back on that ride. You told me to save you someday, and I'm here to save you." And she's like, "I appreciate it. That's more than enough for me, but no thanks." So, you know, he comes up with a brilliant idea to basically help her without helping her, you know, by basically saying, "Hey, it's time to duel." And they decide to do a showdown to see who has the better idea to save the prom. And, you know, he knew that basically she hates to lose, and she accepted very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well, like, Iroha makes some pretty great observations about that. Like, this is like some weird dynamic they have going on. Like, whatever it is they're doing now, it's like, what did she say? It was like a confession, mm-hmm. or
She said argument. It's like a confession, an argument, rejection. I have no idea because I don't even know what's going on. She feels like such an outsider, and she's salty as hell because they know each other. They understand each other better than Aroha and Hachiman does, because, you know, they've had more time to be with each other. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so of course they're going to have that advantage. And you could tell she was so mad. She's just like, he just needs to hurry up and take responsibility, which I'm pretty sure that means do the same thing you did to me earlier, but to her. But maybe, and this is what I was thinking, she's just jealous because he never looked at her that way before. And then all of a sudden she wants that attention again. She wants that attention. Yeah, she wants that, you know, because she was always the one to make him be all flustered and make him be out of his comfort zone. And that was the first time that he just kind of was serious and took things, you know, that seriously, where he was like, well, sorry, that she was like, whoa, who is this side who is this Hachiman? I've never seen this person before. And I think that's what it basically ultimately led to, was just, she's just jealous.
Yep. Much like Yui, the Aroha ship is dead, is sunk. We're only down two.
Did you see the episode preview for the next episode?
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, Yui's back in the mix this next episode, and frickin' we got nerd friend. He's finally back.
Oh, trench coat guy.
Yeah, he's back.
I can't wait.
He's back in the next episode, but
he's come back with the same voice actor as Daru from Steins Gate.
Yeah.
Have that weird voice.
Makes sense.
Did we
talk about... Hey, Hachiman!
Exactly. Did we talk about ReZero? Yes, we did.
I think it's interesting how Yukino sees this whole thing. Because, okay. Like, I kind of want to ground this a little bit. What we're talking about is... It feels kind of dramatic because all they're doing is trying to plan for a prom. But from in Yukino's perspective, this is, I think Hiratsuka said it maybe, or Roha said it. This is like a trial for her, basically. Mm-hmm. So while it may not seem like a big deal to her, because of her interactions with her mother and probably always being forced to do what her mother has told her, just like Haruto, this is like an act of rebellion on her part, and this is why she doesn't want to accept any help from Hachiman, because she wants to overcome this by herself, and also because of Haruno's comment to where she said that Yui, Yukino, and Hachiman's relationship was that of dependence. So I think she wants to not only prove her mother wrong, but prove her sister wrong as well. So, like, this is a big deal for her. If I could equate it to something, think of it, like, as somebody who wants to win a one-on-one duel with their faded rival, but they don't want any help in doing that. You know, it's kind of like you want to overcome this challenge by yourself.
Yeah, they don't want a tag team duel with Joey. I can definitely... I think that's a good way to put it. That's like the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, but I also think that Yukino, I think she has like her right mindset, you know, going into this. Like there's nothing wrong with her thinking, oh, I can do this alone. But I also think like there's no reason not to accept the help from Hachiman. Like there's no reason to not accept that help from your friends and to get this thing going, because at the end of the day, you know, Hachiman is a very important person to her. So why not? Like why not accept that help? I mean, you know, don't let him do all the work, but Yukino is that type to not let Hachiman do all the work. He's a very smart person, very driven. So I don't know. I can see it. But also at the same time, I'm like, I don't think there's any harm. Like, I don't think it would lessen the achievement that she would get from mm-hmm. that. Like, I don't think it mm-hmm. would make it any different.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. About to say the very last thing I can remember from the show was the after credits scene where you know, Yukino and Aroha are kind of like still working on the whole prom proposal and whatever. She tells Aroha to head on out and set up a meeting. And I'm just curious to know what she was referring to when she was saying that once this is like, this will be the last thing I have to do and then it'll be done. I think that's what she said, something along those lines. And then she put freaking eye drops in her eyes. Obviously, probably, you know, working herself sick. And, like, I gotta try to stay open. But then, yeah, it just kind of, like, involuntarily was crying. But, you know, it was one of those. Was she crying because of, you know, she got the eye drops in her eyes, or was she just actually sad? We don't know. We'll have to find out next time.
Next up.
I think also Yukino asked when Hachiman talked about where he was before he found out about this whole prom situation.
Oh, yeah.
When he said, like, I was with Yui, it seemed like Yukino seemed to acknowledge that she was chosen over Yui in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't explicitly say it, but it seemed like she just acknowledged it.
Yeah, she had that almost like shocked / surprised look on her face. Was, oh, all right, I'm gonna make some tea. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. Their positioning and how they were seating, how they were sitting, was in my eyes kind of like symbolizing their changed relationship, because usually when we see them in their club, Hachiman is always sitting to the far side of Yukino, but this time he was face to face with her.
Yeah, that is a brilliant representation throughout all the seasons. Season one, you know, they're very spaced out, there's no table, and then eventually they get a table. Yui's right in between that. You kind of see the whole how she gives him tea, even though he's all the way on the other side of the table, but then she goes all the way back to her spot and's like, you can drink it, even though he's all the way over there. But then, yes, it kind of like the gap gets closed and closer, and yeah. Yeah, that's a nice little representation right there. Just, yeah, really close.
Yeah. They're going to kiss him.
Oh. Make out.
If we're lucky, because usually that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't even know what I would do if any of them were to kiss, to be honest. Like, it would be, it's almost at this point where it's like, we've known these characters for so long, do we want to ruin it with a kiss?
Maybe three kisses will do.
A Hershey's kiss.
Yeah. Give him a Hershey's kiss. That's how he ended. A brand, a branded deal.
It just turns into a commercial for Hershey's Kisses. You mean I spent three seasons watching this show for it to be an ad for Hershey's Kisses?
I mean,
oh, do you know how many people would be pissed?
Oh my god, I'd be like, we're killing it, but this is the last episode. We're killing it.
I mean, it's happened before with Sing Yesterday to Me.
Yeah.
Well, act like that show is the worst thing ever.
Oh, trust me, it's not the worst thing ever. But that ending just ruined it for me.
Well, there ain't many bad endings when you shop with Carvana. What? Any final thoughts on Snafu?
Can't wait till next week's episode. I look forward to this show every week. And next week is no exception. Oh, I cannot wait.
I want to cry because I'm seeing Aroha mature before my very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see that. But yeah, there's not much else to say.
You think she's going to maybe try to get closer to Hachiman now that she, you know, she got her feelings now for him?
No, because I feel like the feelings were always there since like mid. Like midway into season two, I feel like maybe there will be a chance that she tries to confront them in a roundabout way, kind of like Yui. But I think that's the most we can hope for. I don't think she's going to try to push the situation, because I think she understands that it's going to be the Yukino and Hachiman ship that sails.
Here's how it's going to really end. There's gonna be like a meeting, right? Everybody's in there.
Oh my God.
Iroha, Yui, Yukino, Totsuka, Sensei. They're all in there. He walks in exactly like the quintessential quintuplets. He just walks in, points at it, says, "It's you! You're my wife!"
Wait.
I don't think that's how it actually is.
That's not, that's not how it happened, but
I know nothing.
You're my wife now.
I mean, that would be very ballsy. Like, yeah.
Well, he's going to walk out with his balls out.
Oh my god.
He's gonna it's gonna be crazy, dude.
Well, you know who he's gonna pick?
Iroha.
Wait, Tosca, so they both they're
so they both can both walk out with their balls out.
Just pick all of them. I pick all of you. You're all great.
He's like, you know what I decided? I'm transferring schools because I'm going with Hiroshika Sensei. Fuck y'all.
Oh god, domestic girlfriend situation where it comes drama. No. It's like we saw the picture and we zoomed in on the picture and we found that when we zoomed in on this picture taken by a 3-megapixel phone from 2003, and we saw you up there because you left the blinds open, and we could tell that's her back.
Yeah, right.
It was dark. It was pitch black.
It was dark, and you know. We could clearly see this was you, and you were getting it on with the students. So, what do you want to say? Do you want to go to jail, or do you want to, you know, transfer school?
We want to keep banging. Because she's at this point, her smoker, it's gonna really affect her voice.
Oh, I just love to keep banging. Oh, so beautiful, that flame. Good smoke.
There's one last thing. It's not really much, but Hayama has to come into the picture as well, in my eyes, because he's been visibly absent. And if you remember, he first has his relationship with Yukino as them being like sort of childhood friends, not really, but sort of. And also, I don't know who asked, but I think it was Haruno. She asked him who he liked, and he said their name starts with a
Y.
Yeah, Y.
Yep.
So obviously that we're leaning towards Yukino in that situation because I don't think it's Yui. And who else name starts with a U or Y?
Well,
anyone I know. It could just watch it be some just random girl from another school or something. Just be like, well, that was anticlimactic.
That would be trash.
It's me, Yun Yun.
Oh, Konosu. Okay.
Or Yuki from Fruits Basket, either one.
He gets transported to another world.
So, we're all giving this a pass, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess.
Going different. Yeah, where can they find you, EA?
You can find me over here at the Everything Animated channel. I'm still doing my Rent-A-Girlfriend podcast. I'm still doing Snafu weekly, reactions to the episode. And I'm still building up my All Elite channel with my girlfriend. We actually have some videos that were being made and soon to come out. They should be good ones. I can't wait for y'all to see them. Be sure to subscribe. I'm looking to grow my channel to 1,000 subs, hopefully by the end, before the year ends.
Yeah, so sub. Yeah.
Yep, that's my goal. So if y'all love America, you will vote for me. I mean, vote for you. Subscribe to me.
Oh god.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be president. I'm not gonna be president.
I don't think many people like America right now, so I think you may have like went with like if you like Canada or literally anywhere but America.
If you love your mom, vote for me.
There you go. That's a better way of putting it. That's a better way of putting it. If you love your mother, and I know you do, give me a thumbs up. And also subscribe to me. I'll be waiting for you.
Is that like a veil threat?
No. I'll be waiting for him, like, you know, to welcome him in and give him a big old hug. I hug everybody that comes in.
With a baseball bat?
No. With my hands. because hugging with baseball bats is not the same as hugging with hands.
or scissor hands.
Yeah, scissor hand hugging is so sad.
Sasuke, where can they find you?
At this point, don't even subscribe to my main channel. It's slowly being converted into a Kakiguri only channel. So unless you're a fan of Kakiguri, don't even subscribe to my main channel. I will promote my reaction channel, Sasuke the Reactor, where I live react to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders. Hopefully I'll get to part 4 this year, finishing up Battle in Egypt. And I'm also live reacted to ReZero. And you should check out the last ReZero live reaction, especially that one, because it had a Subaru rap in there. Me posing as Young Sue. So, yeah. Check that out.
Yeah. So, you can find us on Spotify as well. Links in the description for that. If you're watching on Spotify or any of the other platforms, we are now on. We're official now. Super official. Then thank you for that. Do whatever they do on those platforms. I don't have a clue. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Later.